The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program. Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, your favorite show about the paranormal, the conspiracies, Bigfoot, or Big Feet, as the professionals call them, UFOs, the government, and of course me, your host, Chauncey, and this, my co-host, Sean. Sean, how are you doing?
Good. I like how you toss in the government there. Like, there are some people who tell that mankind is controlled by a force called the government.
It is. You know, there was a time that that wasn't the case, but now just about every aspect of the government is a conspiracy, you know. This Kavanaugh case right now in the news is a prime example where we're looking at, the Democrats obviously trying to postpone it until after the elections, and the Republicans obviously trying to push it through before the election. Now, as far as all the other stuff, I'm not going to include that because, you know, we got to let that figure out. But up until now, you know, that's obviously been what it was, is some sort of conspiracy move on both parts to try to push it through or to hold it back, you know?
Right, yeah. I mean, our government is controlled by factions that want different things and don't usually play by the rules. So,
right.
I mean,
but do they really want different things?
Yeah, I would say generally, even though I think in many cases those different things are, we want this group of rich people to get richer instead of this group of rich people.
I see. different means to the same
that's
end.
Kind of different, so sometimes, but you know,
right.
Slightly different billionaires are benefiting.
Right. Oh, God, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
So our guest tonight is a friend we've had on the show many times, William Pullen. Yeah. And part of our topic that we're going to talk about is sort of the state of the UFO community and sort of the infighting and the different views of the UFO community and really how it can all be pulled together. And really that sort of mirrors this world that we live in, definitely, obviously, on a political level, this world of two factions that we're talking about, two factions that have done a great job at recruiting the masses to either of their sides. But also, you know, it kind of made me think about manners in general and human evolution. You know, my wife today was picking up food from Taco Bell for the kids, and she ordered a Nachos Bel Grande. And she gets the receipt, and there was like a big chicken griller on there or something. And she's just all, I didn't order the big chicken griller. And he's just all, oh, yeah, you ordered that. And she's just all, I don't know what a chicken griller is. Like, I certainly did not order it. And he's
by that guy.
You're right. And she's just all, oh, and the guy finally says to her, yeah, well, okay, I'll switch it to what you thought you ordered. Like, he actually says this to her. And so, you know, this kind
that
of...
That is a lot of confidence for a man in a minimum wage job. I'll give him that.
I agree, you know, and but we live in this world where do you think that... Because before it used to be that manners made the man. Do you think that technology... Now, there's a lot of old people that are going to shake their head yes to this one. Do you think technology has done away with manners and people's abilities...
People were never polite. People have always sucked. You know, crack open a book from any time period. You know, the best you can say from the past is people were mean and florid prose.
Right, you know, I guess.
Letters from Hamilton to Burr or whatever, but one of them ended up shooting the other guy, so is that really nicer?
Well, I don't know. You wrap it up in enough purple prose and rhetoric, maybe it is.
Yeah, I don't know. Manners are just how you show respect in a given time period, but people have always kind of been trash, so.
Right, that's true, but, I mean, you're looking at this, like, black and white, and, you know, there's always an argument on the other side where people say, well, what about this guy? You know, but statistically, are people worse than they were? Like, I understand used to be. Maybe 60% of them were, and 80% are now, or maybe 50% are now, you know. Are we getting less diplomatic in our communications is what I'm wondering. Okay.
Well, here's the thing. If you look at the past, if you look at, you know, it depends on what time period you're talking about here. But if you choose, I don't know, let's say any time before like 1950, 1960, that seems like a reasonable period to choose to represent the past.
Okay.
That the people who you're talking about who are going to be standard bearers for politeness are going to be part of some elite class or whatever.
Are you talking about white people? Are you talking about white men?
Basically, yeah, because it's stratified by race. So it's like, sure, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants maybe were held to a different standard, but that's only because of this weird Teutonic thing where they, you know, they had all this privilege to maybe go with that responsibility. Maybe people's roles in life were a little more stratified, and so, you know.
Yeah, but I don't know. At the same time, I realize you're not trying to communicate that the people who weren't, that women and black people and other minorities weren't living up to some standard of politeness. I know you're not trying to say that.
No, of course not.
You know.
My point is the standard was artificial to begin with because it was a status symbol. That's
right, I see. Yeah, so niceness.
Now that we've done away with that standard, well, frankly, that's probably good because it's just like, you know, doing away with calling people who are landowners sir or whatever.
That's
a good
point.
They're not knights anymore. They don't wear shining armor, but good because they shouldn't. They don't need to.
Right. So you're basically saying that nice and manners are not synonymous.
Well, absolutely not. I mean, I don't see how you'd even argue that.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people in older generations, that seems to be what they're arguing. You know, it's like, they're always like, you know, if you said yes, ma'am, like this on Facebook, you know, I mean, there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah, I think that's ridiculous. I think the two are hardly even correlated and basically never were.
Right.
But that's just me, you know.
I do have to say that I've noticed that...
Okay, severe absence of facts here. This is an issue I've never considered, and since this is talk radio, I'm just throwing my opinions into the ether, so...
Of course.
You know, I hope they happen to be correct. Not like I've ever looked into this topic.
No, I'm just waxing poetic and thinking about it, you know? I do have to say that 9 out of 10 times when a door slammed in my face and somebody didn't hold it for me, it's a dude around 20 years old.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. Yeah. But, you know, they're probably really nice about other things. They probably recycle. They probably care about the environment.
I love it, man. Even Jared laughed that they probably recycle.
Yeah, you know, they probably do.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I don't think that they're being, I think they're being oblivious, you know. They're not being rude in any sort of malicious intent kind of way, you know. But
yeah.
Who knows? Maybe they are.
Well, they're not holding themselves to the same standard.
Maybe that's where the true conspiracy lies. All right, we got 1 minute up until our first break, and then when we come back...
Well, because they don't care anymore.
All right, when we come back, we got our guest, William Pullen, from UFO Real, UFO apostrophe real, the UFO group, and we're going to be talking about the state of the UFO community. You are listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Lay on the ground, sure, fearing for his life. The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Codwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details on all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information, go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Codwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
This is Diane Hawks with the Address Realty and KCNR. I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how I could be of assistance to some of the car fire victims. So, I would like to donate 25% of my commissions to four families who have lost their homes in this horrific fire and wish to relocate in Shasta County. Even if you haven't yet received your settlement, you could call me now to reserve your commissions. Call Diane at 530-227-6401.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 96003.
We learned it the hard way. Wildland fire is a fact of life for us. The only real protection for your home and property is defensible space. Remove ladder fuels, brush, and trees that can take the fire right into your house. But cleaning up your landscape is a big job, and Cal North Forestry is up to the task. They are the professionals. Cal North Forestry. Give your home the best chance at survival. For a free estimate, call 209-9473. 209-9473.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
July 8, 1947. The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army. Army officers say the missile, found sometime last week, has been inspected at Roswell, New Mexico, and sent to Wright Field, Ohio, for further inspection.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest, William Pullen. We got you there with us, William.
Yes, I'm here. Thanks, gentlemen.
No problem. Haven't heard from your voice in quite some time.
It's been 10 years at least.
Right, right. Well, I guess maybe in the world of radio interviews, it probably hasn't been that long.
No, not really. No. Are you gentlemen doing all right?
I'm doing good. Sean, good. Are you able to be in there with us? Sean's calling in as well.
I don't know. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. There we go.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So I am all...
All right, so, William, our topic tonight is really kind of covering the state of the UFO community, what's going on with it, you know, how we can make it better. You know, first off, I guess let's cover, like, you know, what do we really think it's doing wrong? How do we think it's sabotaging itself?
Too much random speculation is believed by the general public. Without any kind of critical thought. People see a video on YouTube, they see a story written on the internet, they see a story broadcast on some media outlet, and they don't do their homework to see if the information was legitimate. Okay. They buy a book at a bookstore and, you know.
The last three sentences you just said apply perfectly to so many things beyond just UFOs.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yeah, that's a true statement, yeah.
Well, I think that, you know, in this day and age where everybody is connected to their phones, you know, I was watching this interview with, with Elon Musk by Joe Rogan, and he was basically talking about AIs and how we're kind of cyborgs now with our phones, and it makes us more intelligent. The real issue is bandwidth of getting that information into our head and how quickly it happens. You know, so everybody just seems to be processing stuff so quick. You know, that seems to be a big part of the problem. And then the flip side is people seem to find their identities through this. In the case of politics, you know, they're finding their identities, or in the case of UFOs, there's this massive influx of, like, spirituality that's become blended with UFOs. And so it's like, yeah, there's a lot of just rash decisions because they're based on feelings instead of facts. You know, do we maybe need to separate those two somehow?
I couldn't agree with that statement more. Yeah, there's a vast gap between belief-based systems and evidence-based systems. Belief-based seems to be more prevalent nowadays because people have instant gratification. They can look anything up on the internet and they get an answer from Google in 2 seconds. Evidence-based means someone's taking the time to actually vet the information, do their homework, and make up their own mind instead of rashly deciding this is acceptable and just going with it. And you're right, this scenario, it goes much beyond just UFOs. It transcends all our lives in every facet. So, you know.
Yeah, because I definitely see the separation in this country as not so much politics as everybody would like to think. I've had to analyze my own belief systems and really sort of say, am I latching on to a tribe, or is this really what I believe? And when I look at the side that I believe in, I definitely adhere to a side, but even when I look at the side that I believe in, I look at it and go, you know, I really believe in about 50% of this. You know, I don't like back everything in my tribe, you know, and it's really kind of ridiculous, but I think so many people just kind of go through without thinking. I ask my wife this on a regular basis. Am I giving people too much credit for thought? Are people less intelligent than I think they are? I know it's kind of a hateful question, but I mean, I'm
no,
curious.
No, I don't. I think it's a legitimate question. No, any position you take, whether it's UFOs or politics or religion, what have you, there are individuals that will simply adhere to all the beliefs of that position. A cautious individual might take some of those positions to heart, but not all of them, and they're not pigeonholed in that position. In the UFO field, everyone has their own positions, but not very few individuals are ready to defend their positions. They really don't know what their angle is, what their theory they believe in. They just kind of grab onto ones that they think is cool or seems logical to them, if we're even using logic. And they grab onto it, and they latch onto it, and they defend it to the death, pretty much, without really knowing the ins and outs of what that stance entails. It's very problematic when you try to look at something like UFOs. But again, this is another scenario that it transcends everything, our entire lives. So it's more of a general statement about society, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure Sean is our resident sociology guy, in my opinion. What do you think, Sean? Do you think? What do you think on this one?
Well, I mean, we're talking about people latching on to, you know, I think you can see this the most clearly in politics, obviously. You know, you get someone who, you know, is Democratic, for example, on a couple of issues, and therefore takes it upon themselves to adopt all the platforms in the Democratic Party, for example.
Mm-hmm.
it's a little less clear when you're talking about something like UFOs, where, you know, you're just not working with as much stuff in terms of the facts that you have available.
That's
to
true.
You.
Yeah.
And frankly, the most reasonable positions you can come to are usually some, in terms of UFOs, are usually some form of I don't know. And that's just not very emotionally satisfying for people, is it? Which I you know, what is the practical value for the average person of caring about UFOs? Well, for the average person, it's optional. They just want to confirm their theory about the world. So, yeah, I guess I'm not really surprised to not see very much critical thinking from a lot of people.
Right, yeah, I just had the realization that due to the internet, the scene probably has found a larger market, and that before it was probably just drew in those analytical types, but now, due to marketing, it can be targeted at all sorts of different people. And I'm really kind of amazed at the growth in this spiritual UFO aspect, to the point where types of Christianity and New Age religions and stuff are pulling this in as part of their religion, and these star visitors, and like we're all, you know, hybrids, and everybody's got this stuff figured out. It really sort of clogs up the science.
It does. It muddies the waters to a great degree. Yeah, it's belief based systems have really almost taken over the field in the last 10-15 years.
So do you find Do you find in your group, William, that you're getting more and more people who follow this, and then they find that they're in a group that maybe they don't belong in?
No, I've always had members that have that point of view, and I encourage all points of view in my group, but I always try to pose questions to make them think. So I guess, for lack of a better term, I ask them, well, if that's your position, and I respect your position, how did you arrive at that position? I'm kind of softly asking them to defend their position, and usually they get stumped. Usually they just don't know really why they've arrived at that position, which I found very interesting in and of itself.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'd be willing to bet that it's not usually a clear division, like this person is very analytical and this person is just speculating wildly. I'd imagine you've got plenty of people who are very good thinkers but are also emotionally attached to one position or another.
Yeah, it runs the gamut. Yeah, you've got analytical people, you've got spiritual people, you've got individuals at different points in between those two angles. Certainly, and I've experienced this firsthand, certainly there's a section of the community that simply asks questions to have their own position confirmed. I've had people come up and ask me, you know, what do I think about a certain case? And I tell them what I think. And if my opinion, and it's just an opinion because no one knows, if my opinion does not jive with what their thought process is, they seem to give me grief as if I was supposed to confirm their belief, and I'm not going to do that. It's a very interesting thought process nowadays around the UFO community. I don't know why it's arrived. Well, I don't know why we've arrived at this point, but that's where we're at, this spiritual, religious, somewhat speculative or very speculative approach to UFOs, as opposed to 50 years ago, it was nuts and bolts, spacecraft, little green men. It was much more scientific and grounded. Now it's not so much.
Well, we're coming up on a break here, but my personal opinion on one reason why this is going on is that I think that we have just been so inundated with choice in our responsibility. So people have always had responsibility. You grow your food, you eat, or you die. You know, you work the land, you eat, or you die. You know, it's been very simple. And nowadays people have just massive amount of choice in front of them. And I think they take some of these higher questions and they just want to sort of file them away as answered so that they can go on with sort of juggling all of these little thoughts that people have to do in order to eat and not die, you know. It's a conspiracy I've talked with Sean about, where I think we're purposefully being spun around in a circle. All right, you're listening to William Pullen here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
It is known throughout the academic world, the medical world, it is known throughout the Air Force, that the air intelligence has in its possession
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Steck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Tell your boss and your mom that you're busy on September 29th because you're going to the Red Sun Festival to rock out while helping Car Fire Relief. It's a full-volume rock fest on the Reading Civic Auditorium lawn with Floater, Lit, Candlebox, and headliners AWOL Nation. $5 from every ticket, all, yes, all the festival's net proceeds, plus donations from the bands, are going to Car Fire Relief efforts. Check out RedSunFestival.com. It's four rock acts in one day with plenty of bars, food trucks, and vendors. Every ticket matters. If the festival sells out, that's $250,000 for Car Fire Relief. It's rock all day Saturday, September 29th, and country on Sunday, September 30th. Grab tickets at RedSunFestival.com or the Reading Civic Auditorium box office. Sponsored in part by Dutch Bros, 10 Barrel Brewing Company, and Budweiser.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Hi, Lance Beck here, president of North State Security. Celebrating our 50th year of operations in Northern California, I wish to thank the Shasta County community for such great support over the last five decades. In appreciation, North State Security is having a contest. We are giving away $1,000 in gift certificates, $500 from R&R Meats, and $500 from Costco to the individual who come closest to guessing the total number of accrued man hours of North State Security officers have worked throughout the past 50 years. North State Security allows but one entry per family. Provide your guests for total hours worked in the 50-year period. Full name, home address, and phone number, then submit either in person or by mail to our headquarters. That is North State Security at 1970 Hartnell Avenue, zip code 96002. The winner will be announced Friday, November 30th. Submit your pick on total number of hours security officers have worked in the past 50 years for a chance at $1,000 in gift certificates. Submit on a full sheet of paper in person or mail to North State Security at 1970 Hartnell Avenue. Best of luck and stay safe.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Reading. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, William Pullen. We're talking about the state of affairs in the UFO community. You know, we were talking a little bit before the break about how people seem to, like, bait the situation, especially when you're leading the group. They're probably looking to bait you because they're going after the biggest dog in the room. And yeah. So do you think that... Are these internet trolls? I mean, or are these just people? I mean, what's going on here?
I've never been subject to a troll. Not that I'm aware of. I never declare my own positions, rarely in my group, as far as the UFO issue, rarely. And the most common statement I make is, I don't know. Because the entire scenario to me is an enigma. So I'm very comfortable saying, I don't know. Or, I just don't know any answers. And, yeah. And at times, I don't even know what questions to ask. So,
Right. Yeah. I think anybody with an analytical stance on anything should be very comfortable with the, I don't know, or I don't know yet answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so really, I guess the question has to be raised, how do we separate this? How do we, you know, create an effective UFO community for a world where everything is available? You know, do we become much more separatist, much more discerning about who we let in, or is it down to big data, or like, you know, how do we do this?
My take in my group has always been, and I think it would work, that came off wrong, but I think the idea that everyone's welcome in the community, if you have an interest in this issue, you're welcome to come in and assist with investigations or just lend your commentary, your opinions to the mass number of voices in the world, in the country. I guess it would really pay dividends to just investigate all aspects of the phenomenon. Somebody might have the right idea. We might all be wrong as to the actual answer to this enigma. One of us might be right, but none of us will know if we don't investigate and do some homework, some critical thinking, and not eliminate and just cast aside any theory whatsoever, or any of them, but simply just have a cautious approach and say, tell ourselves, okay, what does the evidence say? Is this a common sense assumption? Can we assume anything? Is this too much speculation? Just a more cautious, grounded approach, and we might arrive at some semblance of a few answers, but a very random speculative approach really doesn't get us anywhere, I don't think. But that, again, that's just my opinion. I might be dead wrong. So.
Well, I noticed on Facebook, of course I follow you, and we're buddies on there, that you
I appreciate that.
You stopped being a member of your local MUFON, and MUFON tends to try really hard to separate, or at least this is their stance, that they try really hard to separate just the facts, ma'am. You know, they try to, you know, get all just the facts on it. You know, do you think they've gone too far to the point of being exclusionary by doing so?
I don't know. The situation in San Antonio was that the group was not diverse. There was a certain the group reflected a certain type of individual, and it wasn't diverse, and it wasn't really enamored with the scientific method. It really wasn't. It wasn't adhering to the mission statement of the larger group, the higher headquarters.
Oh, I see. And in that case, they had been infiltrated and kind of going the opposite direction.
They were going the opposite direction, yeah. And so they gave me a wonderful opportunity to work with them, and I accepted that for 6 weeks, and then I was terminated. I think I might have pushed too hard, and maybe I did, but it was a great opportunity. I wish them only the best of luck. But as far as the higher headquarters, that they seem to be pushing in that direction again, the way they, back to a science-based approach to it, which I'm a big fan of. But as to where that's going to go, I don't know how successful they'll be. They're certainly always trying to push for membership,
right.
Which is, yeah, I mean, that's fine. They're a group. They're going to want to gain membership. But they can't lose. For a while, they've lost sight of their mission statement, that they need to regain their focus, scientific examination of the UFO issue. And hopefully that refocusing will pay dividends. But that remains to be seen. We'll see.
Now, I want to point out that this kind of issue plagues, you know, mainstream scientists as well. Like, we think of physicists, for example. We think of them as kind of like paragons of intellectual integrity. But Max Planck famously said, science advances one funeral at a time. And, you know, you saw when the theory of relativity came out in the physics field, many of the older generations of physicists didn't want to accept it because it was weird. Same with quantum mechanics. know, even in a realm that is very evidence-based, you will always have an element of just plain human stubbornness and clickiness that leads to echo chambers.
Yeah, I watched that Cosmos with Neil deGrasse Tyson, and there was a whole segment on Newton being held back and having his ideas stolen from him and being held back on other ideas just because people, you know, weren't ready to be wrong.
Yeah, that is certainly a scenario. They always say the new ideas aren't accepted until the old guard dies off, which sounds very harsh, but maybe kind of true. That's certainly been the scenario with science. New theories have experienced a lot of negative kickback. They haven't been accepted. And as generations go by and the older guard dies off, the new ideas that were once ridiculed turn to the mainstream. They become accepted. Like you said, with relativity and now with quantum mechanics, those theories faced a lot of kickback when they were first revealed and discovered. Mm-hmm. Now they're mainstream physics.
Einstein famously didn't care much for a lot of theories of quantum mechanics. He felt there had to be something we were missing that would make it more explicable and Newtonian.
Yeah, spooky action at a distance.
Exactly.
Yeah, or what do you say, God does not play dice?
Yes.
Turns out maybe he does. Maybe he does.
Perhaps.
You know, it kind of seems like the UFO community needs a new, like a retronym, you know? Like you used to have mail and then you got email, so now we got to have the retronym of snail mail. You know, UFO research, it kind of seems like it needs to be split into two angles. One would be, you know, UFO spirituality, and one would be UFO science or something. We need to somehow differentiate those two so that we can sort of collect information.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a great approach. I mean, any approach that pays dividends is good. I mean, on a personal level, I'm open to all angles. I mean, I'm a science-based guy, but if someone else can make can use an approach that's not science-based but pays dividends and they gain information and knowledge from that, more power to them. I mean, the end result is that the entire community, we all want the answers to the UFO issue. We all want this problem solved. However we get there. I mean, I'm a science guy. I prefer science. But if some other angle, some other approach gets us to the answer of the UFO enigma, more power to them, whatever gets us there. So maybe a change in the approach would be effective. Maybe going back to approach that was used in decades past would be effective. I mean, who knows? I mean, we'll see what transpires. But it's interesting how the changes in modern society have become apparent in the UFO community, like they have in religion and politics. It's kind of spread to us now. So we'll see what the future holds.
Yeah, or maybe when these scientific reports are being taken, you know, a checkbox needs to be checked for spiritual attitude, aspect, or something like that, so that we can take it into scientific consideration. You know, obviously there have been spiritual considerations in science, and so we can't refute those, but we do have to somehow categorize them, or we really have no place to go.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, I mean, there are some pretty strange cases that science has a hard time wrapping their head around. So maybe a different approach would work. Yeah.
You're talking about UFO cases here?
Yeah, UFO cases.
Yeah. Yeah, Dr. Alan Hynek used to call them high strangeness cases. They were so bizarre that they bordered on the paranormal. They bordered on the kind of case that you really couldn't attack it with the scientific method. It took a less scientific approach.
Right.
You know, forgive my ignorance here, but I'm fascinated. What are some of examples of high strangeness cases?
Well, let me cut you off there. We're coming up on the next break, and we're going to pick this up with high strangeness. And when we come back with William Pullen here on Radio Wasteland.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
Every day we hear about the dysfunction and fighting in Washington, D.C. It's hard to know who to trust. That's why we need real local leaders, like our Congressman Doug LaMalfa. He's a farmer who understands our community. Doug LaMalfa isn't part of the establishment. He's one of us.
I'm Doug LaMalfa. The North State is my home and always will be. I work for you and put people above politics. I've worked to help our local veterans and the victims of the catastrophic fires, and I'm fighting to make sure everyone gets the health care they need and can afford, including those with pre-existing conditions. I'll always fight for our values and to make our community better. Jobs are coming back, and we passed one of the largest tax cuts in history for middle-income families. I'm fighting to make Washington work for you. Thanks for listening.
Real results for real people. That's our Congressman, Doug LaMalfa. He's one of us.
I'm Doug LaMalfa, and I approve this message.
Paid for and authorized by Doug LaMalfa Committee.
Get ready to laugh because Riverfront Playhouse is bringing you a show about a normal guy who has a ton of everyday problems that everyone can relate to. Hilarity will ensue as Jasper navigates from mundane career obstacles, awkward romantic encounters, right down to the daily commute. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Somewhere in Between, written by Craig Pospisil, directed by Chris Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 22nd through October 13th. Mature themes and language, so viewer discretion is advised.
The sub above difference is the silver lining. Order Jersey Mike's for your game day party, and rest assured that even if your team doesn't win, your mouth does. Victory is all yours. Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. The sub above difference is the shortcut. Just order online, avoid the line, and grab a sub with your name on it. Congrats! You're now the envy of the entire line. Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above.
Jersey Mike's, next to Trader Joe's, off of Hilltop.
My flying saucer, where can you be?
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest William Pullen. Right before we went to the commercial, Sean was asking, give us an example of that high strangeness. I'm guessing that this high strangeness is stuff like skinwalkers and stuff like that. William, can you huck us a few examples of high strangeness?
You hit the nail on the head. Skinwalker, that scenario. Sighting cases that report missing time. Lights indoors. Craft occupants walking through walls. Individuals waking up with their clothes on backwards. Just random occurrences that are non-mundane that you can't explain through any kind of nuts and bolts approach, you know, as opposed to other cases which have, radiation traces, landing marks. That's more of a nuts and bolts case, but there are these other cases that have high levels of high strangeness that border on the paranormal. It's hard to attack that with science. There's a lot of that in the UFO field.
I'm about to ask, are any of these high strangeness cases credible in the same way that some of the more nuts, you know, your Roswell-style cases are?
Yeah. But certainly there's a big percentage that are unexplained. And being that it's hard to approach them scientifically, it's difficult to pin any number of explanations to them. So they still remain unexplained.
I'm guessing that the credibility levels of the person that it happens to is what makes them really stand out more than others, maybe?
Yes. Yeah. The background of the individual, the position they hold, if they are, say, of a have military background, or they're a lifelong outstanding citizen in their community or what have you, these credible, high-quality individuals reporting this, it lends some weight to the case, but it doesn't really assist us in getting to the bottom of it, so...
Yeah, and for you folks out there that maybe don't know what we're talking about, but are obviously UFO fans, you know, some of the more squirrely episodes of X-Files are actually pulling from some of these real cases. There was one where it was like the Men in Black, and it was this sort of like funny, weird time travel back and forth impersonation thing. And these were really pulling from some of these like weird UFO cases where you just really don't know where else to put them.
No. Yeah. The producers of the X-Files did a good job of getting inspiration from cases that have been reported.
Yeah.
Some nuts and bolts, some are really high strangeness, and they would incorporate that into their scripts. Yeah.
So my question about the UFO community would be, do we think that a part of this, because once again, to parallel it to politics, you know, I'm reading this thing in the newspaper, and it says that we're more divided now as a country than we were during the election, which I found incredibly hard to believe at first. But my day job is I'm an online marketer, and I realized that the reason why we're more divided is because people came along and figured out how to monetize these belief systems. So we have shows and we have stuff where people have monetized belief systems and sucked people in and got them all worked up in a fervor because sensationalism is big. And do you think that this is happening to the UFO community? I can definitely tell you that it's happening to the Nibiru side of space conspiracy and stuff like that. There seems to be some serious, like, hardcore sensationalism going on there. But do you think that's happening to the UFO community? Do you think people are monetizing it, driving an even larger wedge down the middle?
I think to an extent it has happened. But I think some of the, I don't want to say negative, I think some of the problematic aspects that have been bubbling to the surface with the UFO issue, we kind of do it to ourselves. People, they have their beliefs and they're set in their ways, and they're very unwilling to examine evidence that may go against their own belief system. But you're right. Certainly the media and different programming people are exposed to that are UFO themed, I'll say, they do get people in those kind of scenarios where they present a certain angle and they gravitate to that. And they adhere to all the beliefs of that individual or that angle or that theory. So it's kind of all the same lines as what's happened in politics. Maybe not to the same degree, but I think, yeah, it has bled over.
Yeah, and while not UFOs specifically, maybe a little bit, you know, Alex Jones would be a prime example of somebody who's taken conspiracy belief systems and obviously monetized them. He is paying the rent with that, you know. For complete transparency for everyone out there, William and Sean and I, we all have day jobs. We are not paying the rent with our love of the paranormal,
no.
You know?
No.
That would be great, though, but...
Oh, it would be great. It would be great. And, you know, that's why I hope to maintain a skeptical view going in, so if the day ever does come, I can basically already be branded as the skeptical guy, so I don't need to change anything. But here's a guy who definitely, Alex Jones is a prime example of somebody who is taking this fervor and paying the rent with it. I think that that's a big split going on. I mean, religion obviously does it. So once you start pulling religion into UFOs, I'm sure it's happening.
Sure. Yeah. Regardless of what an individual thinks of his content in his programs, he's certainly capitalized on it to a great degree. He's paying the rent, and that's fine. It's a capitalist society, but he's really gone the nth degree to in that direction. I'm not gonna fault for somebody for wanting to pay the bills, but being able to keep up your level of integrity while doing that can be a slippery slope.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely what I was saying. Of course, if you have the opportunity to pay the bills by doing something you love, of course you should do it.
Sure. Yeah, that's we would all be in that. We would all love to be in that scenario. So.
If only I was in love with Pizzagate.
Yep. Yeah.
But I'm not.
That's right.
All right, William, we're coming up on the end of the interview here. Can you tell our audience a little bit more about how they can find out about you and really what they're going to find when they get there?
You can always find me at my UFO Interactive group on Facebook. It's entitled You For Real, A Historical Review. And I have a new project coming together with four other individuals in San Antonio. It's called UFO Cryptid Investigators, where we're trying to apply the scientific method to local UFO and cryptid sightings here in the greater San Antonio area. We have a page on Facebook that's titled that, and you can find us there. We're all science-based, and we'd love to hear sighting reports and stories and go from there. So we encourage that.
All right, William. Well, we always love having you on, and for our audience, I'm sure we'll have William on in the next couple few months again, because you are a mainstay. You are definitely part of our family here now. Just to remind our audience, one time when I was out of town, William filled in as a guest host with Sean. William, you're one of us, and we really appreciate you.
Thank you for having me on, gentlemen. It's a pleasure. It's all the honor is all mine. Thanks again.
All right. You've been listening to William Pullen here on Radio Wasteland.
Take him to Memphis. I took him down to North Carolina. Sleepy little town down there called Mayberry.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days.